Good morning, USA. Welcome back to another episode of Shallow Vows, a podcast dedicated to American Dad. I'm your host, Sam from Connecticut, Western Connecticut, that is, by the way, because I just want to point out that, yes, Seth MacFarlane is also from Connecticut, but I could literally drive to where he used to live, okay? So, just had to point that out to everybody if you didn't know. Not to brag or nothing, but if you're from the same area, also let me know, or if you're from Connecticut in general, because represent. So I'm your host, Sam from Connecticut, and we have moved on to episode 8 of American Dad, and that episode is called Bullocks to Stan. Overall, it's a pretty good episode. I mean, so far, you know, every episode has been good. Every episode of American Dad is fucking amazing. But all of the ratings that I've been giving them on a scale of 1 to 10, they've all been consistently like 6 and above. So this is no different. If you're new here, welcome. If you're not new here, you kind of know what the deal is. I have been an American Dad fan for probably as long as I've been conscious. Technically, that's 12 years. 15. Because I was 12 when I started watching the show, and that's really when I started becoming, like, a conscious being. So 15 years I've been watching the show, and I don't know about you, but I will have dementia one day. Not if, when. And when I do, all that I will remember are American Dad references. So join in. Let's talk about the show, each episode one by one. Also, if you are new here, I have terrible ADD. So even though I jump all over the place and go back and forth, it sounds like I'm butchering the episode. I promise. I'm just following my notes in order as I take them when I watch each episode. So if you want to see any of my notes, if you want to compare notes, if you want to see how it works, I will gladly show you. Because I don't have a script, I don't have a co-host, I don't have an editor, I don't have nothing except a recording app and an Instagram and a Twitter, which I'm excited to be back on Twitter again. I'll get into that at the end. But anyway, let's dive on in to this episode, which is Bullocks to Stan. And here's a little synopsis for you. Stan worships the ground Director Bullock walks on, but things get complicated once he discovers Bullock has formed a physical relationship with his daughter, Haley. So, not Bullock's daughter. He's not doing his own daughter. But with Stan's daughter, he's got a lot of balls on him. And keep in mind, Bullock has not been, a main side character yet. Like, he has come in hot, like I said in an earlier episode. He's an enabler. He's a crazy man, and right off the rip is, you know, banging his subordinate's daughter, which, you know, he has no shame at all. He doesn't care. So we'll be getting into that, obviously. That's what the whole fucking episode is about. So some context around the episode. I like to fill you in with what was going on the day that it aired for each episode. So the air date for episode 8 is September 11th, 2005. Never forget. RIP. That makes it a Virgo. I like to tell you what the zodiac sign is in case it happens to be yours and then you can celebrate, right? Right now we're in Virgo season. And the moon phase of September 11th, 2005 was first quarter. So that is one of the things that I keep tabs on is the moon phase of the day each episode airs. And if you're new here, I also like to call us the... Oh my God. I already forget the name of the group, and I was the one who pulled this out of the previous episode. The Lunar Awareness Council. So if you know, you know. It's kind of like a little inside secret that we've got going on, if you've been paying attention. So everyone here on this phone call, in this FaceTime session, in this room with me, is part of the Lunar Awareness Council, okay? And so far, we have a good moon phase calendar going on for this season. The number one song in the U.S. is still We Belong Together by Mariah Carey, which that's what it was for episode 7. Yep, that's correct. And the number one song in the U.K. was Don't Ya by the Pussycat Dolls. And I haven't, I haven't been including the number one song in the UK. Maybe I should, because it's kind of funny. And also, who doesn't love the Pussycat Dolls? Like, I had to give them an honorable mention. And a popular song is still Superman Returns, which was directed by Bryan Singer. And I just want to say, like, oh my God, aren't there any other movies out there? Like, I'm doing prep work for future episodes, and I've obviously been paying attention to previous episodes, and my God, like, they need, I don't know why this movie of all movies was so, like, people went batshit for it, but okay. So on this day, September 11th, 2005, you know, it's obviously not the September 11th, so we have other stuff going on. On this day, an 11-minute video claiming to be from Al-Qaeda is sent to ABC Pakistan. And I think they had it on the news. It had something to do with, like, death threats, and they were going to bomb Los Angeles, New York, something. The death toll from the Japanese encephalitis epidemic reaches 650, but is possibly higher. The typhoon Kanaun hits Zhejiang province in China. Let me know if I butchered that, by the way. Causing 800,000 people to evacuate. Ray Najin, mayor of New Orleans, is interviewed on Meet the Press, discussing the rebuilding of the city after Katrina. So there's a lot going on, a lot of death on this day. Ugh. We got disease, we got nature, we got bombs. I mean, oh, God. And this is just after Katrina, so you know everyone is, like, going crazy. I actually do remember that happening, kind of. I remember, wow, that must be really bad. But again, I was 9 years old, so, you know, I didn't know how bad it actually was, but... ugh, we've got the Iraq War, we've got Katrina. Yeah, 2005 seems like it wasn't a wonderful year. Not to mention this horrible epidemic in China. What is it, encephalitis? Ugh, that's no fun. So, sorry to... sorry to everybody about these things. I apologize on your behalf, even though I wasn't there. And then the only big guest star that we have for this episode is Stephen Root, who plays Dick. Now, I don't know if he plays Dick the whole time, but I'm also not going to mention him in as a guest star anymore, because if it's not Stephen Root, it's just going to be someone else later, and we'll get to that when we get to that. But right now, as of right now, Stephen Root is part of the main cast. So all the other guest stars were not anything crazy. All right. So let's dive on in to the meat of this episode. Now, I always start the actual chronological notes of each episode with the newspaper headline, one of my trackers. If you're new here, we have several trackers that I'm keeping tabs on things throughout the show. So we've got the newspaper headline, the flagpole in the front yard / the threat level indicator on the fridge, the moon phase, Francine's hobbies, the layout of the Smith house, And my personal fan theory, which I call the goo theory. I won't get into that specifically right now, but if you have any questions, please let me know, and I will happily elaborate. So here we go. Newspaper headline. Guess what? For this episode, there isn't one. The intro is too short. I don't know why they didn't do the whole theme song. Maybe they were trying to save some money, but maybe that's another thing I should start keeping track of, is questions that I want to ask Seth MacFarlane. So I'm going to – this is a good first question to ask. Why was there no newspaper headline for season 1, episode 8? So great. If you're new here, I do apologize. We usually have a great newspaper headline that we go over, but not this time. So, anyway, it starts off at the CIA. So the deputy director, the man right under Bullock, his name is Fred Ferguson, and he is going on a leave of absence because he has terminal cancer, and you can tell all over his face, that man is dying. And of course, he never comes back. So you can only guess where that went. I don't know what kind of cancer he had, but, you know, he's walking out of the office, and who is it? It's Stan, Dick, Jackson, and I think, not Duper, Sanders. So they're all out in the hallway. They're trying to be supportive, and Dick says, terminal, fatal, inoperable, just words. You know, probably the most comforting thing you can hear if you have terminal cancer. And then what do I have next? Oh, yeah. So Fred Ferguson, he's, you know, clearly dying. He leaves the CIA office, gets into the elevator. And as soon as the door closes, the guys at the CIA, they go crazy going through his stuff. So they're picking out, like, his stapler, his tape, his paper. And Jackson, of course, is going to take his weed because so far from what we've seen of the CIA coworkers, Jackson is the most insane. He was gay while he worked in real estate, which by itself is not crazy. But in the context of other things, yes, it is crazy. He's banged something dead. I don't know if it's a dead mermaid or another dead creature, but Stan said in a previous episode, you ever do it with a dead mermaid? And Jackson says, mermaid? No. So he's committed necrophilia, and now he's stealing this dying guy's weed, which you would think that he would need it, but they don't give a fuck. And Stan is like, oh no, I don't need to go through any of his shit. I'm getting the big prize. Jackson says, his wife? As if Jackson wouldn't, like, go and steal his weed and his wife, too. Stan says, no, I'm gunning for his job. So Stan is looking for a promotion at work. This guy has, he's been dying for a while because Stan said, I've been working Bullock for that promotion since Fred got his first nosebleed. Which, oh my god. This poor fucking guy. They probably knew that he had cancer and they were like, I'll take your stuff. So, what do I have? So, okay, yes. So, Bullock is inviting everybody to the secret CIA carnival. So he gives them all, you know, their invitations. And Stan, I forget what Bullock says, of course, but he jumps to conclusions and immediately, Bullock says the invitation needs to be destroyed immediately. So Stan goes and eats it because that's a normal thing to do, is eat paper. But as we have seen by now, Stan is the most unhinged Smith member of the family. Like, Francine gets crazy later, yes, and Roger is starting to show signs that he's a weirdo. But right now, Stan is, he takes the cake for being the most unhinged out of all of them. So, not that, you know, eating paper is the most unhinged thing he's done. But this is what I do. You know, I ramble like a motherfucker. So it had to be about the fucking paper he eats. And they all go to a secret CIA carnival. So they, that's what the plan is. Sorry, my brain is like totally glitching out. I have like four things that are distracting me, including my own handwriting. So, oh my gosh. Okay. An extremely urgent mission. It's Bullock's laundry. So Bullock is inviting everyone at the CIA to the CIA carnival. Stan eats the invitation. It blows up inside of him. And he says he's going to be pooping blood later. And he starts bringing up his promotion to Bullock, because if anyone is going to be getting a promotion, it's him, right? He's gunning Duper for the promotion. He's gunning Jackson, Sanders, and Dick. He, like, that promotion is his. He works on that promotion for a hot minute in this show. And, he, you know, Bullock kind of hangs it over his head, dangling it in front of his face like a carrot. He says, well, first of all, I have an extremely important mission for you. And it's just getting his laundry. And that's another thing. Bullock really has the balls to make Stan go and do, like, his dirty errands. Meanwhile, he's fucking his daughter. That's crazy. I think out of everybody in the show besides Roger, Avery Bullock has no morals. And it's kind of a shame that Roger has to, like, run and hide from Bullock and the CIA, because they would get along great. So they're getting ready for this carnival, and what am I? I'm looking at a couple different things here. So they're getting ready for the carnival, and Stan is forcing everyone to make like origami swans out of napkins, because Francine is like, you know, why do we need these origami napkins? And Stan is like, he's going to be eating food, and he likes to wipe his mouth on swans. And Roger is trying to make, you know, the same origami swans, but they're coming out as little figurines. And Stan says, who's that supposed to be? And Roger says he can only make origami that looks like metrosexual soccer icon David Beckham. Which, I don't know if David Beckham is a metrosexual, but I guess I can look that up later. I don't know if it's really a big deal. I also don't really know what metrosexual is. I know what pansexual is. I'm a bisexual, so I know what those are. And unfortunately, I know what heterosexual is. And it's, like, what's a metrosexual? Like, unless that's just, like, an outdated term. I don't really know if people use that one that much anymore, but anyway, they're getting ready with these origami things, the swans and the David Beckhams. And then we cut to Haley and Jeff, who are still dating at this point. He's kind of been, like, a little bit more on the low-key side, I think, the past couple of episodes, but now Haley and Jeff are on a hike, and this is the perfect time for Haley to break up with him, because she says that Jeff doesn't challenge her, doesn't, like, you know, make her feel like, I don't know, he doesn't fight back at all. He's, like, just a big, like, agreeable baby. So Haley's like, I need someone who challenges me, and she breaks up with him right there on the hike. Which is crazy. I just remembered this because Haley gets eventually broken up with on a hike herself. Gets broken up with by Bill. And if you've seen the show, if you know what I'm talking about, I hate that episode. I mean, I don't hate it because it's a funny one, but I hate it because of the plot. And Haley's an idiot. Anyway. So, but this time, it's Haley doing the breaking up with on a hike. And Jeff is all upset. And he tries the whole time. He's actually talking about getting married to her, which is crazy because they do end up getting married. And it's basically like Jeff wanted her to like live with him, get married right away. And she's just kind of like, eh, I don't know. So poor guy. At least they end up getting married, right? Not a huge spoiler. You know, Jeff is a main part of the show, so, you know. He's a good strong character, I think, as dumb as he is. And then we cut back to the Smith house, and here I made a note that the flag is on the flagpole in the front yard. Sometimes it's there, sometimes it's not, but this time it is on the flagpole. So we love that so far. And then, you know, I think this is after the, they're talking about, they're back at the house, and they're talking about the CIA carnival. And, you know, because it's the CIA, everyone from the CIA is going to be there. And Haley is, of course, putting up a fight, trying to fight Stan on everything, like she usually does, or like he does. And she says, who's going to be out there undermining democracy? Stan says, the FBI pulls a double shift. So I don't want to say anything about the FBI because God forbid they put me on a list or something. But I don't know how they undermine democracy specifically, the FBI. If you have any examples of that, you can tell me. But also, I would like to keep this as like politically clean as possible. I don't want to talk politics really in this podcast, except for what goes on in the actual episodes when it's literally political. And anyway, so I don't know what the FBI does, but they're working a double so that they can have this carnival. And my next note here is we don't live in should land. And that has to do with, I think, Haley or Francine was talking about how he should do something, he should do that, he should do this, the CIA should do this. And Stan is like, well, we don't live in should land. So I guess, I thought that was important. Because we all wish we lived in should land, right? I should have started this podcast 5 years ago. I should have, you know, done my laundry yesterday. But hey, what are you gonna do? So now we're at the carnival. We get there. We're at the entrance, literally, because the sign says, you know, welcome to the CIA carnival. And underneath the little slogan is tolerating women and blacks since 1988. So if this, and it was also the 30th anniversary CIA carnival. So if we're going backwards, 2005, 30 years before that, was 1975. So 1975. So for 13 years, they did not tolerate women and blacks at this carnival, which, you know, we know that America is horribly racist and sexist, so that doesn't surprise me. It's just, those little one-liners are always just so fucking funny. You know what I'm saying? And Steve is talking about how he wants to go over to, oh, he wants to go over to the germ warfare booth, because as they're walking by, you see a microfilm eating contest, a Secret Service booth, defibrillate Dick Cheney. And Steve says he wants to go to the germ warfare tent. Francine says, okay, well, that's gonna be a no because, you know, because of the anthrax that you got at the last carnival. And it's like, how did Steve get full on anthrax without fucking dying? Like, he gets a lot of stuff from anthrax to heroin. And you would think that he would be a dead man, but apparently it's not that big of a deal. So, whatever, I guess. Power to him. If he's got an antidote, he should probably give it to us. So he goes over to the defibrillate Dick Cheney booth. And Dick Cheney's like really into getting tased in the chest, whatever you call that, when they do the heart shock CPR. He's getting really into it. And he gets shocked, and his BlackBerry falls out of his pocket. And Steve gets a hold of it. And apparently, Dick Cheney has Satan's cell phone number, which I don't know why they didn't try to prank call Satan, but we'll get to that. And then it cuts to Bullock. He's having a conversation with a group of, I think, some of the guys at the CIA. And Stan is, like, totally, like, kissing his ass, like, being a total sucker, listening to every word that he's saying. And Bullock fully admits that the CIA distributed crack to the inner cities, which is something I do believe. You know, like, the CIA is definitely behind, like, the war on drugs. Like, they started it for real. They brought the crack out. So Bullock fully admits it. And I'm going to believe Bullock. And you know what? Put me on a list for that. I don't care. I'm not smoking crack. I don't deal crack. So I can say whatever I want about the CIA and crack. And then Haley comes over and she starts kind of bickering with Bullock. And of course, you can tell that they have sexual tension, like, immediately. Because of the way that they're just dissing each other back and forth. And Stan says, "You remember Haley, my son's sister," trying to distance himself as much as he can from Haley because he is so worried that she's going to embarrass him in front of Bullock and he won't get a promotion. So now we are back at the Smith house. And I have a note about the layout here. So the window is still by the stairs. And I'm just stating that for the record because so far this whole season, the window has been there. I'm telling you, for the love of Christ, it is not there later. So as soon as we get to that episode where it disappears, I'm going to have a party for real. And I had a note here, but it should have been earlier on in my notes when we were in the kitchen before the carnival. The threshold by the kitchen bay window is a hallway. Sometimes that is a laundry room. And we have seen the laundry room one time in this season, but we don't know exactly where it is. So right now, that threshold is a hallway, which is weird because that's also like where the, I think, oh, that's where the bay window is. So I don't know why a hallway like starts and ends there unless it's, you know, just an entrance to the backyard, but oh, it changes. Now, moving on. Klaus breaks the fourth wall for the first time. So throughout the entire show, oh, that's another good tracker. Every time they break the fourth wall. So Klaus starts kind of narrating some things. Like, Stan, he made, like, a smart-ass remark. And Klaus says, you know, the fans are expecting smart jokes. And he narrates throughout this episode, but it's also not the first time that Klaus has been a narrator either. So, I'm actually going to make a note of that. Another tracker is going to be how many times they break the fourth wall, which it happens a lot. So I'm excited to see how many times and when it actually is, because I have I can remember off the top of my head some of the times they do it, but breaking. It's ring. It's got one of those funny rings that goes fourth. Savages. Wall. Okay, got to remember to add that at the end. Okay. Make a star here so I don't forget, because I probably will. And then we cut to Roger, and he's smoking a cigarette out of the attic window. It's a sunset. He's looking very solemn, very serious. And he just looks so dramatic. And he says something to Steve about how he was dreaming of Paris last night. And I think this is when he starts to... We've already seen him do a couple personas, whether they had names or not, or for whatever he was doing. But now he's really starting to, like, get into the mentality of pretending. So we love that for him. I love pretending myself. And Steve is like, oh, my gosh, I have Dick Cheney's BlackBerry. Like, we got to make prank calls. And Roger immediately jumps in. They make a bunch. I think they call the British Prime Minister. They call a couple other people. They call Argentina. And then that's their little side quest, you know. And I want to I need to make a note for my goo theory, because part of my goo theory is that Roger is in control of everything that happens in the show, because he makes it a simulation. And in the beginning of the show, before he has the goo chambers, which they don't come until season 3, episode 1, he has no way of controlling them. And let's see, prank calls. I have to make a note here.
Prank.
The only reason you're not dead is because calls I need you. Look, I'm going to turn you into a real man. Side quest. Like, it's not really until later in the show that any of the characters who are on a side quest have, like, crazy shit happen to them. So, right now, the side quests are, like, a little silly, a little innocent, and I think it's because Roger doesn't have, like, these wild simulations to put them in. So, that has to do with my goo theory, so I'll be adding that to my little conspiracy theory board. And then what was I doing right after that? Next, we cut to Stan, and he had run a couple more errands for Bullock. And he goes over to Bullock's house and brings him his pair of shoes that he just got polished and his Viagra prescription. So he goes over there. He's like, oh, yeah, I just got your big shoes shined, you stallion. And then, you know, says he picked up his Viagra prescription and is like, that's one lucky lady. And then who walks out of Bullock's dining room 32 seconds later? It's Haley in Bullock's bathrobe. And I had made a note here. So how did Haley end up at Bullock's house? Which I answer my own question in a few seconds after Stan has like a whole freak out about the fact that Haley is sleeping with him. His boss. Goes, oh, good morning. So like I said earlier in this episode, it's pretty fucked up that Bullock really has like the balls to make Stan do stuff for him, which includes picking up his shoes, his laundry, and his Viagra so that he can go and fuck Haley. Like, oh my God. Like, imagine saying to someone that works for you, hey, I need you to pick up my Viagra because I'm banging your kid. That would be so fucked up, and that sounded way worse than it actually is, because I'm not talking about actual literal children. I'm talking about the offspring of, you know, your employees. God, crazy how I have to, like, over-explain myself there. Like, I don't, you know, it should be obvious, but to some, we can't have any perverts up in here that are, like, actually perverted, not American Dad level perverted. Anyway, so Stan has this whole fantasy about, like, just shooting Bullock right there in the head, right in the front front hall. And, you know, it kind of goes off into this part of the fantasy is, like, there's bystanders, there's witnesses. And, of course, his solution is to kill them, too, including a blind guy who he figures out after he wakes up from his little fantasy that the guy wasn't blind. He was sitting on his porch with his sunglasses on, and he says, wait, don't shoot. Like, don't use your gun. I'm blind. I can't see what you're doing. And after Stan kind of comes out of his little trance, he's like, that guy wasn't blind. He saw my gun. And it's like, I want to know, I really want to know how Stan's brain works. Like, in that episode, Brains, Brains, and Automobiles, where they go into Roger's brain, we should have an episode where we go into each character's brain. I think that would be crazy. That would be so cool. I know they have an episode about, like, dreams and stuff, like, being a part of, like, each other's dreams, but I feel like using the brain switching technology at the CIA would really, that would be funny for each character. So yeah, my next note here is, I answered my own question. He called and he challenges her. So why do they break up? So Haley got to talking to Stan about how she and Bullock, he called her and apologized for giving her a hard time at the carnival. Which, how did he get her number, first of all? Like, he can't really get that without asking Stan or Francine or being shady. So, and it's not like she would be putting it on Facebook in 2005. So how did he get her number, first of all? And she says that he challenges her. Great. So why does she break up with him? Like, if he's so much better than Jeff for these reasons and she likes him, then why does she break up with him? She didn't really say. And, well, the breakup is going to come later in the episode. So Stan is immediately, like, okay with this situation as soon as Bullock mentions his promotion. Like, as soon as he starts dangling that carrot, literally, Stan is like, oh, yeah, you know what? No problem. No worries. And then we cut back to the Smith house, and Francine is freaking the fuck out because her daughter is sleeping with Stan's boss. And she's like, you need to stop this. Like, you need to put an end to this. They need to break up. And he's literally, like, defending the fact that he'll be getting a promotion. Like, he'd rather deal with that and pick his career over his family, which this is only the first time of many times where that happens. And they're having, like, a back and forth. And then he's making a sandwich, and Roger mentions how the sandwich was made out of, like, styrofoam and cardboard, and it's worth $70,000, which I'm wondering how much it cost to draw the actual sandwich. I'm going to put a little question mark next to it. I'm just thinking of all these things during this episode. I don't know. I'm feeling, like, kind of smart right now, even though I'm definitely not, but that is okay. And we know that Francine is, like, definitely very ditzy, and, you know, she is, like, very airheaded, but she defends herself. She comes in clutch, and she says, I may be blonde with great cans, but I'm pretty smart when I've got my 8 hours. And talking about calling Stan out on how he wants a promotion more than he wants Bullock and Haley to break up. Anyway, and then he calls her a big boob blondie, which I guess that would be, if you were going to capture Francine in three words, I guess it would be big boob blondie, but I feel like she has other words than that. If you were to describe Francine in three words, let me know what those three words would be. Okay. So this whole time, Jeff is determined he will not give up on getting Haley back. He gets really drunk. He comes to her house. He harasses her. And he tries to be more, like, assertive and aggressive because he's trying to change for her. And he plays, like, a little flute solo, and he's actually pretty good. Like, they should have kept that as a little character trait. Jeff is good at the flute. And then oh my God, every other character except Jeff. Jeff is talking to Stan, and Stan says, oh, do you want to get Haley back? Like, this is, you know, you got to do this, this, and that. And, oh my God. Jeff is basically like, yeah, like, I'll do whatever it takes to get Haley back. So Stan decides to torture the shit out of him, you know, electrocuting him, practically. I don't think he waterboards him, but does something like that. And then he takes Jeff out of wherever he's torturing him from. And I forget what they're doing, but they're in some parking lot or on a roof. And Stan says that they're going to take a ride with Joe Rogan. And this is when Joe Rogan had hair because he was on Fear Factor. So he's in a, like, in a convertible. And he says, like, you ever, like, bang a stripper? Because, like, those broads are crazy. Like, something about strippers being nuts. And I guess at the time, Joe Rogan was still a polarizing figure, air quotes, because Jeff literally calls him that. He's like, I'm not getting in that in a car with that polarizing figure, with a polarizing figure. And, you know, this is way before the Joe Rogan podcast, but was Joe Rogan, like, was he, like, a polarizing man? Did he, you know, create, like, some big divide in pop culture? If you know the answer to that, please let me know, because I don't know the answer, and I would like to, I'd like to know a little bit more, but at the same time, I am not a fan of Joe Rogan myself, so I'm not going to go out of my way to learn more about him when I think he's kind of annoying and he's bald. So I just think it's fascinating that this is when he had hair. So if he were to be featured on the show now, he'd be a bald bitch. And then he goes, what are you guys, homos? Stan says, no. And Joe goes, aw. And he's all sad. I love all the secret, like, closeted gays that they have on the show so far. They have a lot of people who are in the closet. And I'm not saying it's good for people in the closet to be struggling with the fact that they're in the closet. But it's funny how, like, in the previous episode where, or, yeah. No, in episode 6, when Stan, or Steve, was joining the Scout Rangers, and he had to repeat the Scout Ranger oath before a match, like, burnt down to his fingers. And the Scout Ranger kid in the group says, yeah, and you have to show us your penis. That'd be really gay if you did that, right? Like, they just have, like, some of the funniest, like, closeted gay stuff in there. I don't know. Obviously, it's not funny in real life, but come on. This is American Dad. Please don't take any of this shit seriously. Like, please don't. And if you do, I am so sorry, but I cannot help you. You just have to learn to relax. Anyway, so that's Joe Rogan, you know, making a big appearance. And now we're back in the Smith house, and this is the first time that I really noticed, like, the threat level indicator. I think at the beginning, did I mention it at all yet, or no? I didn't. I mentioned the flag on the flagpole, but when Roger is making origami David Beckhams, I'm pretty sure that the arrow on the threat level indicator is on the yellow. But now at this point in the episode, it's between blue and yellow. So, which is actually higher than in episode 6, where the threat levels should have been a lot higher. And now they should still be very high because, you know, your boss is banging your daughter. I would imagine that that's kind of threatening. But maybe not, because he's so delusional that he just wants his promotion. And then, you know, Francine thinks that Stan got Haley and Bullock to break up. Well, they didn't, because Bullock, again, no shame, no morals, comes beep-bopping into the kitchen. He's singing a weird song about little girls and how he likes little girls. He's wearing Haley's robe. His junk is hanging out. He's going through their fridge. Like, he just has no No boundaries, no nothing. Oh my God, it's so funny. Like, you really got to have like balls of steel. And this is what I'm talking about. Him and Roger would get along so well. Now, the threat level indicator is back on the yellow. So it went from the yellow in between blue and yellow, and now it's back on yellow. So I guess the threat level does match up with this episode. And, you know, Francine is getting all upset because Bullock is like half naked in their kitchen. And he's still, Bullock is still using Stan's promotion to like sleep with Haley. So he says, "You know what I was thinking about while I was staring at the back of your daughter's head last night? Your promotion." And it, like, you gotta, like, we know that Stan is selfish by now. So, of course, he would rather go for the promotion than, you know, get his daughter into a normal situation. But, like I said, he is always gonna be choosing work over his family, and he does that way more than once. Now, we're back to Steve and Roger, who are still prank calling people with Dick Cheney's phone. And they have the UN meeting on. And the representatives from Israel and Syria are sitting next to each other. So Roger calls Israel and says, "Oh, yeah, like, it's Syria. You know, don't look, because I don't want, like, we don't want people to find out. But I like you. Do you want to go to Six Flags?" And Israel is like, "Yeah, like, I'm into it." Again, like, another closeted little gay moment, you know? Like, at first, they were sitting there watching TV, or being on the TV for the UN meeting, not doing anything. And then Israel thinks that Syria is hitting on them, and all of a sudden, he's like, that sounds good to me. And then the TV switches to Bullock is on the TV. He's talking about, you know, Stan's promotion or whatever. And he gets a phone call from Haley, takes it on live television, and it's Haley breaking up with him. Haley really has, she also has balls to break up with people the way she does, because she can dish it out for sure, but she really can't fucking take it. So she breaks up with him on live television, and then he is just being like the biggest baby about it, because he, like, he's crying and he's getting all upset. He storms off, and it's like, dude, you probably weren't even sleeping together for like a week. Get a grip, get over it, you know? And Bullock is all upset. He's doubting, you know, Stan's promotion now. Stan says, "I've done everything but bend over backwards for you, and my daughter did that, so I say it counts." And he really just has no issues either, like, making jokes about the fact that she's sleeping with Bullock. You know, I feel like I've said a lot of the same words a lot in this episode. I don't really know what the fuck is going on, but whatever. Now we're back in the Smith house. And Jeff is in Haley's room, and they're looking out. I don't know what exactly they're doing at this point, because Stan is just trying to get Jeff to win Haley back over. And we're looking at Haley's room, and her room out of that window that's, like, behind her bed, if we're looking in her room, that looks out to the backyard now. But in episode 2, her room looked out to the front yard. So you see what I'm saying? We're starting now that we're a few episodes in, we're starting to see how the house changes in accordance to, like, convenience with what's going on with the Smith family. So now we have Haley's room facing the backyard, even though before it was facing the front yard, which still doesn't make any sense, because if we look at the last episode, all three windows on the second floor facing the front yard of the Smith house belong to Stan and Francine's bedroom and their bathroom. So, I don't know. I guess we'll see. We're going to see more layout changes. I'm sure of it. And I cannot wait to bring them all to you. And also Seth, because I know you're listening, Seth. I know, like, you're a huge fan, right? That's me bringing it into existence. And then, so I have a quote here. It's just like a little back and forth between Francine and Haley. And, oh, that's what it was. He is getting more assertive with her, so he's kind of telling her what to do, and he shouted something at her from her bedroom window out into the backyard. And Haley's, like, all impressed that he's taking charge. And she says, I wonder if he'll hit me, but only because he really loves me. And Francine says, and sometimes you talk too much. And Haley agrees with her. So we obviously do not appreciate or like domestic violence in this house at all. But it's kind of funny the way that they said it. Like, she really said, oh, yeah, I wonder if he'll hit me because he loves me. And Francine is like, sometimes you also talk too much. As if she really, like, deserves to be hit. And they're using, like, the old, like, walk into a door excuse. And it's like, oh my fucking God. Like, oh, dear. They really, there's a lot going on, you know? And Stan, I wrote here, Stan is never smooth. Always causes a scene when he tries to sneak away. He was trying to hide from Jeff, trying to get him, I don't know, to get Haley back. And Stan is trying to, like, just dip out of the scene. And he says, I was never here. And he just crashes through the fence. So that's not really significant. But it happens in, actually, the episode Shallow Vows. Represent when Stan and Francine are renewing their vows, and it doesn't go the way that Stan wants, and so he says, I'm just going to make, like, a quick exit out of here. I don't want to cause a scene. And he trips over all the chairs. He breaks the harp. He drives away really noisily, and it just, yeah. So shout out to Shallow Vows. I cannot wait to get to that episode. And then we're back now to Steve and Roger, who are still doing prank calls, and they prank call Argentina, who calls them back, and again, able to dish it out, but can't take it. They, I wonder what Argentina would have said to them if they had answered the phone, because they think it's Dick Cheney. They don't think that it's just some kid and an alien. So I wonder what Argentina has to say to Dick Cheney. That is, that's really funny. And then, okay, so I forget exactly what the context is. I don't know if you can tell, but even though, despite the fact that I watch each episode two times before I even record my own stuff, I can't remember shit. So, kind of like the words coming out of my mouth right now, I will watch an episode and I'll pay attention, I'll go back, and I don't remember. So, Bullock is talking to, I don't know, he's, they trick, Stan tricks Jeff into, getting alone with Bullock because Bullock is like, I need you to do me a huge favor and I need you to kill Jeff Fisher. And Stan is trying to, like, kill Jeff Fisher, not break them up because he doesn't want Bullock to be upset. He wants Jeff Fisher to be dead. So he tells Francine that he's going to be breaking them up. But in fact, he's just trying to kill Jeff, which he's very quick to do a lot of the time. And they get Jeff out into the woods, And Bullock says, we haven't been entirely forthright with you. Which I wrote down because in a later episode, when Roger is lying to Francine, and if you can remember what episode this is, please tell me because I can't. When he says, I haven't been entirely truthful with you. When he's talking to Francine about a dance move that he made her learn. If you remember the episode, please let me know. And I had to write that quote down because it sounded obviously very similar. And again, I like to keep little things like that for the record. So they have Jeff in the woods and they're trying to kill him, but they end up giving him like a little bit of a head start. So Jeff, like, he gets away, but he stops for gas and for breakfast at a diner, and he makes a phone call to Haley to tell him, like, or to tell her, like, what's going on. And Bullock and Stan, they get to this diner, and they catch him, and Bullock just starts, like, beating the shit out of Jeff. After already, the poor man has already been tortured by Stan. Now he's getting the shit beat out of him by Bullock. And then,
This is your neighbor, Syria. Don't look.
You know, Bullock is, he is dissing Jeff Fisher, but then he starts dissing Haley. And he calls her a slut. And he calls Stan a man horse. Which I think it's kind of funny. I'm actually going to start calling people, I'm going to start calling people man horses because
we now go live to the Senate floor.
I love, I love any jokes about horses. I just think it's, they're really stupid and funny. And there was a good horse joke in, episode two. Stan says, this guy rode me like an animal for 3 hours. Do you have any idea what that's like? And, hold on 1 second. So that's when Stan kind of switches gears and starts beating the shit out of Bullock. Because, you know, as much as Haley and Stan don't get along, they're still father-daughter. He still loves her and cares about her. And at the end of the day, she's not a slut, and she's not a whatever the fuck else Bullock called her. So Stan beats the shit out of him, and imagine how good it would feel to beat up, like, a shitty boss. I've certainly had bosses that I wish I could just beat the shit out of. I mean, I've never beaten anybody in my life, let me say that for the record, but imagine just hitting somebody across the face and it's your boss and you hate them. Not that Stan hates Avery Bullock, but, you know, he got super pissed at him, so for Stan that's pretty good. And as they're fighting, you know, they're fucking up this diner, and everyone's beating the shit out of everybody else. Klaus comes back to narrating, and he actually points out a recurring extra. Now, what I mean by a recurring extra is some of the side characters, the background characters, repeat themselves. And Klaus blatantly pointed one out, breaking the fourth wall. The chef in this diner that they're fighting in was a contestant in the microfilm eating contest at the CIA carnival. And he came up with a backstory about how the actor died and something crazy. And again, I like this fourth wall tracker that I thought of. I think that'll be a good one. So tell me about your favorite time that they broke the fourth wall in American Dad. I'd love to hear about it. And then Bullock, then he claims after getting the shit beat out of him by Stan, he claims that Stan passed and earned his promotion because he says it was all an elaborate setup. It was all a prank. You know, everyone at the diner was an actor. Jeff was faking, even though he just got the shit beat out of him himself. Bullock said it was just a test to see, like, how loyal he was to his family or his job or whatever the hell he said. And, you know, everybody, of course, makes up in the end. Haley and Stan, they're back to normal. Bullock didn't fire Stan. Jeff is still the boyfriend. And that's kind of how it ends. I think they did have an in memory of somebody, but I don't know if that's part of breaking the fourth wall or if it was actually like a crew member of the show who passed away. So either way, RIP to that guy. So to wrap up here, these are all the trackers. Oh, I think I said them at the beginning of the episode, but I will say them again. The newspaper headline, the moon phase, the flagpole / threat level indicator, Francine's hobbies, the layout of the Smith house, the goo theory, and now breaking the fourth wall. Breaking the fourth wall. Okay. So, to wrap up with these trackers, no newspaper headline this time, which is very unfortunate because we love the newspaper headlines, but that's okay. We still collect them like little trinkets. The flagpole / threat level indicator. So the flag stayed on the flagpole the whole episode. It didn't come down. It... you know, didn't change or whatever. It stayed on the whole time. So, not anything exciting. And with the threat level indicator, it was on yellow, and then it was in between blue and yellow, and then it was on yellow again. So, I don't know if Stan was moving it in accordance with what was going on with Haley, but probably. The moon phase for the day that this episode aired was first quarter. I want to make sure that I wrote that. Yeah, okay. First quarter. Francine has no new hobbies this time. The layout, we do see some changes, you know. Haley's room is now facing the backyard. And the window is still by the stairs. But the threshold by the kitchen bay window is a hallway now. And I think that's all we had for... oh, wait, we also had... no, I know I had something else. Oh, maybe not. No, that was it. And then for the goo theory, I think that Roger is not creative with the side quests yet, you know, that are like the sub-storylines, because he doesn't have a simulator yet. He doesn't have a way of making the Smiths do crazy things. Until later on. So until then, he's got to entertain himself and he's got to be doing the side quests. So that wraps it up for all the trackers. Overall, this was a pretty good episode. I would give it a 7 out of 10 because it's, you know, some good lore. We've got some good Haley lore, some good Haley and Jeff lore, good Bullock lore. I mean, Jesus Christ. And, it's not bad. I just, you know, the whole phone call pranking thing, I wish that had been a little bit funnier, but maybe it was funny, like, back when, you know, Bush was president, and it was, you know, Dick Cheney was the vice president, or whatever the fuck he was, and, maybe it was funnier then. I don't know. You tell me if you like this episode. I like it fine enough, so I want to know what you think. So I would give it a solid 7 out of 10. And then, really quick, because I keep saying I'm going to mention it and I don't, if you were on Instagram, you should follow Foster Goes to School, because the guy who is running this account, his name's Hayden, he's a huge American Dad fan. He found me through, you know, just one of my posts, and he has written a couple scripts for the show, and he got a copy signed, and he's really fucking funny. So, I would highly recommend looking at his comics. If you want to talk about the episode he wrote, I'll gladly tell you more about it, or you can ask him. So big shout out to him and his wife and his little baby boy. I am, you know, I'm obviously on, I have the podcast on YouTube, Spotify, Pandora, whatever. But on YouTube and Instagram, it's the same thing, Shallow Vows Podcast for my username. And I just last night figured out how to get back on Twitter because I got banned before and now I have a loophole. So I am back on Twitter as well. And it's at Shallow Vows Pod. So go follow me over there and on Instagram and YouTube and Spotify, the most important ones. I will see you back here some other time for episode 9, which is A Smith in the Hand. That'll be a good episode. And we will see you on the next one. Everybody have a great day and God bless America.
The invitations will self-destruct in 3 seconds. Still better than my wife's cooking, eh? I'm pooping blood tonight. Sir, is there any other announcement you want to make? Perhaps something about me taking over for old high white cell count friend?
It's in the works, Smith. In the meantime, I have an extremely urgent mission for you.
Whatever it takes, sir. Real urgent mission. The plains down Africa. That's a bullet, 2 L's. La 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 more will ever do.
God, it's so beautiful out here, I want to weep.
Yeah, look, Jeff, I have bad news. This is a breakup hike.
What? But we're so good together.
No, we're not. You never challenge me. You just always agree with me.
You're right, I so do that. But I can change.
No, you can't.
You're right. Let's get married.
Goodbye, Jeff.
Good call, babe. You can do better.
It's just a CIA carnival. Why are we folding napkins?
Because there'll be food, and my boss likes to wipe his mouth on swans. What the hell is this?
Metrosexual soccer icon David Beckham. I can't do swans. I don't know why.
Hey, if the whole CIA is at this carnival, who's out there undermining democracy?
The FBI pulls a double shift. Now listen, when we get there, you better keep your liberal pie hole shut. My promotion depends on it.
Honestly, Stan, what does Haley have to do with you getting a promotion? It should be enough that you're really good at your job.
Yeah, it should. But we don't live in Shouldland. Ah, Shouldland. Where clean-cut kids cruise Shouldland Boulevard. And the Shouldland High football team gets their optimistic asses kicked by their crosstown rival, Reality Check Tech. Bottom line, we're going to the carnival.
You coming home with anthrax like last year.
Oh, Mom.
Quit coddling the boy. Just sprinkle a little Cipro on his hot dog. He'll be fine.
Come on, sweetheart. Don't be afraid. You're worthless. Claire!
What have we here? Secret White House bunker? Secret Halliburton bunker? Satan? This is Dick Cheney's BlackBerry.
Sure, everyone knows the CIA invented crack and introduced it to the inner city, but what we never get credit for is malt liquor. Yes, that was us.
Wow. Attention, the boring suit contest is about to begin.
Oh, no. Keep walking, keep walking, keep walking.
Hello, Deputy Director Bullock. You're looking well.
Sir, you remember Haley, my, son's sister?
Of course. I'm surprised they let you through security. I guess those scanners can't detect half-baked political ideology.
You're lucky. As a cockroach, you'll actually survive the nuclear war you're working so hard to incite.
I've already forgotten what she just said.
That's right, little girl. Run along. Go play ultimate frisbee with your drum circle and leave politics to the adults.
You know, I actually don't play frisbee. I guess the CIA got their intel wrong again.
Come back here, young lady. I want you to call my boss and apologize.
Like hell I will. That fascist started it.
I love the passion in her performance.
Unbelievable. I'm this close to a promotion, and our darling little squeaky Fromm decides to assassinate my career.
You know, I wasn't sure about the squeaky Fromm reference, but it's a smart joke, and the fans have come to expect that from us.